Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Wow, great. It feels a bit scary being up here, doesn't it? Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone, and you're in for a good one. So make sure you have your pens and your notepads ready. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. You look beautiful in your maxi dresses. Okay, that's great. So today we're going to have a conversation which we believe also will minister to all of us here. We're not having Pastor Dave or Pastor Leanne going through the scripture, but today we're going to have a conversation where you know, we will be talking about or listening to these amazing women share, experiences about following Jesus, the impact faith makes on their lives, nurturing their children in faith, and healthy marriage lessons, mistakes as well that they would have learned from. So we're in for a packed one today. So let's kick things off, shall we, by listening to the ladies as they introduce themselves. So what I'd like you to do for me is tell me how long you've been married for, how many children you have, what you do for your day job. Have you been spoiled today, by the kids? Tell us what that is. Share that with us. And finally, tell us what is the best thing about being a woman. So that is a mouthful. And I think I would like to kick things off with Pastor Leanne taking the lead on that one. Let's go.
Okay, so married 21 years, 22 at the end of this month on the 27th. Wow. Three adult-ish children now. Privilege being church leader here with an amazing team at Life Community Church. And the best thing about being a woman, for sure, it's the handbags, the shoes, the earrings, the makeup. Like, we have so much fun. Vicky and Carla are in agreement with me. It's just so much fun being a woman. All right, a lot of time and a bit of hassle, but a lot of fun, yes.
Thank you, Pastor Leanne. Emily, do you want to just take that quickly for us? Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a day and how long have you been married? How many kids you have?
So I'm Emily and I've been married for 20 years with David. And we have two children. Andre's 18 and he'll probably be watching online. So hi, son. And Gabrielle, who's 12. And for my working during the day, I'm an educator. So I'm a teacher. And the best thing about being a woman, as Leanne said, the frivolities of life. And also, on a serious note, that I like the fact that we get to nurture dreams, nurture children, nurture friends, everything. I like that side of life.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Ruth.
Yes, so I'm Ruth. I've been married to the amazing Ian for 26 years. Wow. We have three girls. We have Hannah, who's 22, Abby, who's 21, and Rebecca, who's 18. And we do also have a little dog called Caleb, who's very cute too. So Ian and I moved to Leamington in November, and we've become the co-directors of the Well Christian Healing Centre here. So just getting to know Leamington, getting to know the people and the church, and loving it here very much. What was the last question? Oh, being a woman. I love that answer. Yes to all the frivolities, the earrings, the perfume. Hanging out with other women and just the joy of friendship with other women. I think I also love that I get to display the mother heart of God, the nurturing, the compassion, the gentleness, but also the fierceness that he carries and the defender and the protectiveness over our children too. So we get to display something of Jesus to our children and to others around us too.
That's great. Thanks, ladies. Amazing responses right there. So let's go do a deep dive. Being a woman is a busy life for many, and there can be so much to juggle. So you're talking family, work, home, personal goals, and not forgetting making time for sleep. That's something I'm beginning to learn because I struggle with that. Now, we'd love you to share your journey regarding this the above, but let's kind of break it down by asking, how do you prioritize your responsibilities between family, work, and personal time. So I'd like maybe Emily to start, kick us off with that.
So I think the best thing I'd say is the way I start my day and the way I end my day. So my first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of my day are really important to me. So the first part of my day, I like to start it by praying and thinking and committing the day to God's hands. Then obviously, being a working woman, I work during the day, so I'm busy with that. So I have to be diligent and do my work properly while I'm at work. So those hours are busy and dedicated to work. But when I'm present at home, I'm very intentional about being present and being there for David, for our children, and also as a daughter as well. But I think that all of that is really difficult to juggle all of that. So I think it's important as well. It's been important for me to recognize seasons in my life and know what I could prioritize at what point. And daily in my day, I started journaling. And journaling helps me to reflect on my day and think about where the gaps are and what I need to do better on. And I think another thing as well has been for me is recognizing the season and knowing that it's okay not to be everything. Because I think sometimes as women, it's one of the hardest things is thinking we have to be everything and everything to everyone. But just giving ourselves a bit of grace in that area, depending on the season of life we're in.
That's great. Recognizing seasons, that's really important. Thanks for sharing that. Pastor Leanne, any thoughts on that?
I think prioritizing is a real skill, isn't it, that we grow in, that we go on a journey with. So for me, one of the things with priorities is I'm trying to get better at identifying two things. What needs to be done? What's the most important thing to be done in this season, today, this week, whether that be work, family, personal, and when am I best to do that? So I think in terms of what needs to be done, it's not always the thing that's screaming the loudest in your voice.
Yeah.
That is the priority. Actually, sometimes it's the thing with a quiet voice, which is actually really important for you to prioritise. And then the when, not all time is equal. So what I mean by that is I'm a morning person. 10 o'clock at night, you'll get no sense out of me whatsoever. 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll get all the sense in the world. So not all time is equal. So what is the priority and when are you best to do that? When is the best time of the day, the best particular time in the week? So I think prioritising is just a skill that we all just need to constantly be learning and growing in, because so much of life is screaming for our attention and our time and your energy. So just the what and the when is something that is really important to me.
Amazing, the what and the where. Okay. Ruth, do you want to just quickly, for a minute?
I mean, I don't think there's much to add. I mean, I'm like Leanne, I'm 10 o'clock at night, I'm just like, I'm completely out of it. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm a lot more with it as well. I think I just agree. I was going to say seasons of life are so different, aren't they? My kids have all left home now, so we're in a very, very different season. But when they're younger, obviously, I think it's so important as a couple, particularly just to go like, what are we investing? What are our priorities here? We used to put a lot of time on one-to-ones with the girls every Saturday. We used to take one of us, took them out, and then that changes in their teenage years as well. So it's just kind of, you know, what have you got for me in which season? And also I think for us it was a case of each of our children are different as well, so it's just kind of going, how have you made that particular child and what is it they particularly need as well? So it's about the needs of the children, the seasons of life are in, and then prioritizing that around work too as well.
Amazing. That's great. Good notes right there. Okay, so moving quickly on, let's talk about strategies, because I can imagine all of you amazing women have something that works for you. So maybe Ruth, because you've got the mic, if you just carry on with that, that's okay. So what strategies help you stay organized with so many daily tasks that you've got to juggle?
Yeah, I mean, so I think Leanne does this as well, actually, because I realised this recently, but one of the big things that really has worked for me, and I still do, even though the kids have left home, is I meal plan. So I kind of meal plan for a fortnightly meal plan, and then I order my shop with all my favourites in the basket still. And generally, I've just kept that over the years, and it's been a really, really helpful rhythm. Now, at the moment, Ian and I, every Sunday night, we plan and pray and plan through our week together and prioritize what's coming up as well. So I don't know if anyone's done Myers-Briggs personality type, but I'm a J on Myers-Briggs, and that is someone who loves to-do lists, loves structure, loves being organized. So I'm in my happy place when I'm doing all of that stuff.
Amazing. Thanks, Pastor Leon.
I think for me, write it all down. That literally, that's a lifesaver. Write everything down. We say it, but our office, your mind is a rubbish office. Few of the great things when you write it down, number one, it gives you clarity. When you can see things on a piece of paper, it puts distance between you and your mind, which can get awfully foggy, but it can give you a clarity when things are written down. Mm-hmm. And then also, when you write things down, you'll find that instantly you feel less stressed. Because when everything is whizzing around in your head, oh, I need to do that, I need to ring that person, you feel like, you know, you're getting more panicked and stressed. So for me, okay, I have three different diaries. First of all, I have an electronic calendar that Dave and I both share. And we both put all of our appointments in there. So at any given time, let's say Dave needs to, I need to schedule something. Oh, but I need to figure out if that's going to work for Leanne. We can just quickly go to our phone and look at the calendar. Then number two, I have a work diary. So everything, I write it all down. Meet that person, send that message, write that email, plan for that message. Write it all down and then decide again, the when am I best to do that? And then I have a personal diary, which is like my family, my home, sort that, do that, don't forget to buy that. And again, write it all down. That is literally my strategy.
That's a masterclass right there. Very organized. Thank you. Thanks. So write it down, guys. Emily, what's
your... Yeah, about the same, except all of mine is we have a family digital diary calendar, so the kids are all in it as well, so that we're very busy running different things, so they actually are in it with the organization as well, so that all of us know where everybody is and what they're doing at what point in time, so that really helps. Yeah,
that is great. Thank you. Moving quickly on, which is a very important one for women especially. Maybe Emily, because you have the mic. So what activities help you recharge physically, mentally, or spiritually?
I absolutely love nature, and I love reading as well. So those are my two things that I love the most. So, for example, this morning I've been able to go out on my 3K run, and I was spoiled to views of daffodils everywhere. So that's what I like doing. I like either walking in nature, or if I can get out for a run. I also love reading, and actually that recharges me, because when I'm out in nature, God speaks to me, and I can see him and feel him in everything, and so that's my happy
great.
Way.
Thank you. Amazing. Nature lover. Ruth, can we just get your thoughts on that one? So what activities do you do to help you recharge?
A dog. So I love walking the dog. I love meeting up with friends for coffees and chatting to my friends on Zoom or on the phone. I love sitting in silence. I love sitting in silence for a long time. It's one of the things that really recharges me. What else? I love going out for meals or having takeaways with Ian as well. Yeah, lots of different things. But yeah, those are some of my faves.
Good, thank you. Quick, few.
Good, yeah, walking. Walking's a good one. I think movement can recharge you. I do Pilates, so that is really good just for the whole of your body. So that's a way, it's good for my physical, but it's also good for my mind as well. And as simple as it sounds, just getting a good night's sleep. Because every problem that you have will always feel a little bit better in the morning. Yeah. So sometimes the best thing that we can do for ourselves is just shut up and go to bed. And that is it. And that will recharge us massively.
That's amazing. Shut up and go to bed. That's great. Okay, so we're going to move quickly on to, maybe Emily, I'll bring that to you. So how do you intentionally stay close to Jesus? Because that's important as you juggle various areas of your life.
I think it's making it a habit, a lifestyle. So I think it's difficult to find an hour and to sit there. For me anyway, it's difficult to find an hour that I'm going to be an hour and I'm going to sit there and pray for an hour or read the Bible for an hour. I just don't have that luxury in this season of my life. So what I do is to just weave it into everything. So for example, when I'm going into work, I've got a 25 to 30 minute commute. At that time, I can worship, I can listen to podcasts, I can listen to words. Also, when I'm even just cooking, I'm always attentive. I might be thinking and praying and just bringing God into everything, in every area of my life. And I think weaving it in that way means that before we know what's happening, at the end of the day, we've had multiple opportunities where we've been able to connect with God, because he's really the anchor that keeps us grounded in every season of life.
It's amazing. Thanks for that, Pastor Leanne. Do you want to add to that quickly?
Yeah, just time with Jesus again. Consistently showing up. You've got to consistently show up for Jesus. Every single morning, I'll spend time with Jesus. It's the first thing I do after making a cup of coffee. Sometimes I've got a few moments. Sometimes I've got a little bit longer. It's not about the quantity. It's about developing that pattern of consistency that you're going to keep showing up, being in the Word, worshipping, waiting in the silence for a moment. That's, without that, I'm sunk. I'm over. I'm done. Being with Jesus.
Okay, thank you for that. So quickly, still, maybe Ruth, I'll just bring this one to you. So we know by now that you're all amazing women who love Jesus and you're women of faith. So how does being a woman of faith shape your identity and purpose and all impacts your, an impact on your everyday life? So let me quickly take that again. How does being a woman of faith shape your identity and purpose and also impact your everyday life? So let's just kick that off with Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really with these ladies already. I mean, it's a lifestyle of worship, isn't it? It's the 24 hours through the day and through the night as well. It's that intimacy with him. I think for me, it develops in the sense of like asking him, shall I go there today? Shall I wing this person at this moment? It's listening to what's happening in my mind of like, who's on my mind? Who shall I pray for? Who shall I call? It's what television program should I watch or what shouldn't I watch? What music should I listen to? Like, I think for me, it just needs to affect every single area of my life, my friendships, how I spend my time, how I spend my money. It's just a lifestyle of worship, isn't it? Every single moment of the day, whether I'm worshiping on the piano, having my quiet time in the morning, or going out and about and meeting people. I was just thinking, there's a verse that says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be ever pleasing in your sight. And I guess that's my prayer for every day, all day, every day.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think all of you have just said the same thing. It is practice. You just weave it into everything that you do, which is amazing. And I think we have dealt with that enough for now. So we're going to move on to children and marriage. Interesting one. So as a woman of faith, maybe I'll come to you, Emily. I'm sure that you have wanted to nurture faith in your children. And there are specific routines, maybe, that you have been helpful for you in order to nurture faith in your children. Would you like to share some of those with us?
Yeah, so my children are a little bit older now, like I've said, but starting from when they were little, I think for me, it was just being very, very present in their lives. So making time to really be at their level, at the stage of life they were at. And just making those very, very strong connections and building very strong roots in my relationship with them individually, because, you know, as people, and knowing them individually and getting to know them really, really well and speaking in their language that they understand because of their different personalities and what they're like. And when I connected with them, I then lived my faith transparently in front of them. So I don't think it was necessarily, you know, telling them what to do. It's just living authentically in front of them after I've made those really strong connections. And as they're getting older, starting to communicate with them in their unique way that they will understand. And also helping them, I think, as for me, what I can see, sometimes, you know, when children are little, they can't see it, but helping them see things through the lens that I was seeing. So helping them see God through different situations and what they're looking at. If something happens, there's always looking and asking God for the wisdom to know the moments that to educate from little learning moments, telling stories of God's faithfulness from my own life as I was growing up, sharing that. But I think really it's just connecting and living authentically.
That's great, Pastor Leanne. Have you got any thoughts on that?
I think a bit similar to Ruth. She said every day, everything, she's inviting Jesus in. I think that's how we've tried to raise our children. So we often talk about Jesus and God just in everyday life, when we're eating, when we've had a good answer to something, when we've got a problem. So just making like Jesus all of our life, just like an authentic flow of our life. And then obviously we've done our best to try and put principles in them of showing up consistently to the house of God, reading the Bible. So they've had so many versions, from kids to pictures to teenage Bibles to ladies' Bibles now. So just flowing and ebbing as the seasons change. Principle of giving, of honouring God, of serving with your gifts. So just trying to give them just a holistic, this is what being a Jesus follower is, but you have to make up your own mind. It's not about, you know, my faith, Dad. You have to make up your mind. We hope your mind is to follow Jesus, but it has to be a personal thing.
That's great. So living the life for them to see and just trusting that they will, you know, learn from what they've seen. That's a great question. Did you want to say something quickly?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, one of the things that's been really, I'd say, really instrumental for our kids is we used to go to New Wine every summer, which is a summer conference. It was in Devon. It's moved around different places. But there they had, like, incredible Bible teaching and incredible worship every summer. And it was, like, the highlight of their year. And it was other people inputting, because we were church leaders as well, so we were inputting into them a lot. But it was a forum for them to receive for other people as well. And I'd also say, I think when they got to teenage years, I really encouraged our kids to find mentors, to find other women, because I've got girls who could input and ask some really good questions and who could speak into their lives. I think sometimes in teenage years, our kids don't come to us quite as much as parents, and just to encourage them to find other godly role models to invest in them as well, I'd really say that's been helpful as well.
Great. Thank you. We're almost there. So now let's talk marriage, which is an important one. All three of you have been married for over 20 years. Wow, well done. You deserve a medal. Great. Okay, so Emily, I'll bring this one to you. So what is a top tip in building a healthy... Actually, Pastor Leanne, I'd like you to take that one if that's okay. Yeah. In building a healthy marriage.
So many. Number one, communication. Yes. Dave cannot read my mind. No. As much as we would like our husband or wife, they should know. If they love me, they should know to do X, Y, Z. The reality is half the time they don't know. So it's our job to have in healthy marriages to communicate. So, for example, if you need help, ask. ask your husband or your wife, could you help me out with this? I'm struggling. I'm time poor. I can't do it. Just ask. Communication, so important. Maybe there's an area of your marriage where you're like, hey, we're doing okay in that area, but maybe we should do X, Y, Z just to help that area, strengthen that area. Communicate. Share your heart, express. Communication for me is the number one, because when it starts breaking down on either side and you start going insular and not expressing, it will still come out, but usually it comes out in all the wrong ways, through an argument, through a criticism, through a weird behavior pattern.
Pastor Davies, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it will come out. So let us do our best to keep those float lines of communication open.
Should we bring you back then to Emily? What are your top tips?
I think on a day-to-day basis, one of the things my mom said to me when, you know, I first got married was, she said to me, love is not just looking at each other in the eyes, looking together in the same direction. And that has stuck with me. I think, you know, and for us as Christians, actually, looking in the same directions means pursuing our own faith with God. I think that has helped me, I think, and helped us. And the other thing is also knowing the season and adapting. Like, David and myself have known each other since we were 18. So we've grown through the different seasons of life. And I think, you know, like, we've definitely changed in that time. And I think getting to know, you know, acknowledge the different seasons of being together as well.
Okay, in a few seconds, Ruth, do you want to just add one quick tip?
So intentionality, I'd say, of I think, like you're saying, communication is so important, but we, I think, quite quickly, probably in the first year of going out even, we're just like, we need to put particular times in our diary. We're going to have a date night each week. We're going to make time on our Sabbath to spend time together and to actually carve out time to kind of look in each other's eyes and chat through things. And we've just kept that up as a rhythm through life. And it's just having it there every single week and knowing that that's the space and time is so important. So intentionality, both in marriage and parenting, I'd say as well.
Great, thank you. So we are bringing it to land now. Let's look at mistakes and lessons learned, right? Okay, so we are currently in our series. Who remembers what the title of the series? What's the title of our series that we are doing at the moment? Do you remember? Easter People. Great, thanks for that. Good students, right? So in that series, we are looking at the main characters of the Easter narrative, and one of his characters is Peter, who really does mess it up, as we all know, by denying Jesus on the night of his arrest. Yet Jesus restores him. Can you share a time in your life when you made a mistake and what lessons you've learned through that experience? Maybe Ruth, you got the mic. Do you want to kick things off?
Yeah. So I was going to say, so there was a big time for me when our kids were in their teenage years. I was at the school gates a lot with lots of other mums. And I really went through a time where I became very, very addicted to buying clothes. So we laugh as women, don't we, that we love the jewellery and the that. But actually, I realised that I was spending too much money on buying clothes. So I was actually spending too much time thinking about going shopping and actually going shopping. I was spending our money and actually overspending our money as well. And actually it had become a real idol in my life. And it was actually quite a long time I was doing that. There was a phrase that someone said, the context you're in shapes your desires. So I was around loads and loads of other women who were very into external appearance and into buying clothes and had a lot of money. And so that really shaped me. And so I actually had to spend time after that fasting clothes for a year to break that habit and repenting as well. And I think ever since then, I've just been trying to live a lifestyle of more simplicity, of like not having stacks and stacks of things in my wardrobe and wearing the same. Sorry, I know we just did all this, but wearing the same earrings and just trying to live a more simple life out of an experience of where I became too addicted, really. So I just say it's really important to be thinking for all of us and constantly, Estelle, what's taking up our time? What's taking up our thinking? What's taking up our money? Because where we put our treasure, that's where our heart is. But if we put it into other things, that's where our treasure is. So that, yeah, that's one of the mistakes I made. But hopefully the Lord's taught me through it and restored me through it as well.
That's great. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Should we just come back, Pastor Leanne? Do you want to quickly just add in a little bit there while we wrap up?
I mean, God, I'm feeling convicted now, everybody. Need to get some prayer ministry later on. There'll be a whole queue of women joining me. Anyway, that's the whole... No, that is brilliant, Ruth. Absolutely tremendous. It really is. Oh, gosh. I mean, we learn from our biggest mistakes, don't we? I think as I was sitting with this question through the week, I think sometimes I've looked back and one of my mistakes is I've overlooked opportunities in front of me. So, for example... my dad has gone to be with the Lord now, and he has now for 10 years. Still quite difficult for me to talk about it. But just one opportunity, there was a meal that we were going to, and I declined that particular meal because I'd got lots of ministry on and lots of things to do. That's quite difficult. And it was probably about 6 weeks later that my dad went to be with Jesus in heaven. And I think that taught me a huge lesson that actually sometimes we have moments and opportunities in front of us that we have to say yes to, even if it's going to be difficult, it's going to be a sacrifice, that there's opportunities which will only come once to you in your life. That may be an opportunity from God. That may be to invest in a certain friendship or relationship. That may be to give to someone. And it will only come around once. You won't get that particular one again. And I think it's my mistake there, looking back, was let us not overlook some opportunities. Yeah. So even some of you now, there may be opportunities coming your way. Ask God. Sit with the Holy Spirit. And get wisdom on that opportunity. And let's not be quick to overlook some of them.
That is profound, amazing. Let's just all meditate on that. Maybe as you're sitting there, there might just be something that God has presented to you and you have overlooked for whatever reason. So just maybe go back to God and say, Lord, is there one thing that I've missed out that I need to go back to? And let's just pray for that. Thanks, Pastor Leanne. Emily, do you want to just...
I think one of the things I've learned over the years, the biggest, I think, for me was wearing busyness as a badge of honor. Wow. and thinking that being busy was a good thing. And I had to be convicted of that because actually it's not about how busy you are and saying yes to everything. It's about following what God wants us to do. Mm. So it's something that I had to learn. A mistake I've made is to think busyness is a good thing, but it's actually about impact and not busyness.
Wow, I think most of us women will probably need to reflect on that. Amazing. Have they done great or have they done great? Amazing. And I just feel like it's almost like a solemn moment now, which we are going to round up with. We're just going to pray. Amazing points have been raised about understanding the seasons that we all are in and just trusting God to kind of get God in everything that we're doing and for us to sit down and reflect and say, what season am I in? Whether it's in your marriage, in your work, your walk with God. So I just want us to just maybe close our eyes now as we bring this to a close. Thank you, amazing conversations we've had. Women, you've done amazing. I'm actually just thinking about a few things. From what Ruth said, the conviction about, having all those things that are not necessary and just spending time. So that for me was something I am reflecting on. So I'd just like you to just maybe shut your eyes, open your hands and just and just begin to talk to God, because this is ministry. This is not just talking. And I'm sure that one thing or the other that those amazing women of God have shared would have touched you. And I just want us to, you know, come to God, bring it to God, and just pray and just ask God, what is that thing? Maybe a missed opportunity that I overlooked. Just say, Lord, bring it. Help me to be able to redeem that opportunity again. And the mistakes that we have made, what lessons are we learning from it as we go through this season? I just want us to just spend 1 minute and just talk to God about it. And then we'll just round up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you want to write it down, feel free to write it down. If there was something that really stood out to you, write it down and go home, sit with it and just pray. And so, Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you because we know that you are here. And in all these conversations that we've had, I personally have learned, I've learned some things which I will go and sit with. And Father, we just pray that even as we have heard these words from your children, these amazing women, we pray, Lord, that all the things that we need to work on in our individual lives, we pray, Father, that you, Lord, by your Spirit, will help us to work on these things, especially knowing the seasons, Lord, in our lives, Father. We pray that, Lord, you will help us by your Spirit to identify each season that we are, every walk that we, as we walk through life, oh God. And we know that we cannot do it without you, Lord. And therefore, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to just breathe upon every woman, every mom, every child, every husband, every man here. Would you breathe upon each one, oh God, and those areas we need to work on from what we've had this conversation, we pray that, Lord, you minister to us, oh God, and help us, Lord God, to be obedient and to walk even as you lead us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Give this amazing women a hand. Yay. Thank you.